the Runner's Diary podcast with Brian and Damien.
Welcome to Runner's Diary, episode 91. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, all of last week's results, our featured fixtures.
And this week, we have a chat with Henri Hucht, Niamh O'Sullivan.
That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. Okay, welcome back again to everybody. Thanks again for joining us. Get straight into Damien. How was your week?
My week was very busy, very productive, a little bit of running. But overall, I actually had a good week. This week, for some reason, is the most weeks I've had ever, I think, in work, with people come up and going, are you the guy in the podcast? And I was like, I am, yeah. Your voice sounds the exact same. So again, thanks to everybody who comes in. It actually does make my day when people say that. And again, this week as well, I've got plenty of people in congratulating you again, Brian. And it's getting old news now, but you know, it's still important to let you know there's people in going, I was so happy for Brian.
Yeah, it feels like really old news because I went out this morning for a small bit of a longer run, let's just say, and ended up in 10 miles. And I tell you something, it felt like torture. I actually said to myself, how the heck did I do a sub-3 marathon 2 weeks ago? Like, you know, it's just feels so far away.
Oh, that's mad stuff.
But you have to get going again.
Exactly. Right. What's the story, so Brian? We've had a very busy week.
We've had a very, very busy week, actually, between YouTube videos and we're week 11, I think, in our YouTube videos. So again, for those that
are week 12, Brian.
Week 12, sorry, yeah. Week 12. For those aren't familiar, we have a YouTube channel as well. Again, get over there if you want some good tips on marathon training, and we're doing it week by week, so you can go back and look. Even if you haven't done this marathon, you can use it for future marathon. But also, we have competitions every single week now. It's getting inspiring people, as good. We keep saying. So
one this week to win a pair of Gooders sunglasses. So it's well worth it, lads. Head over there. You've actually very high chances, to be honest with you, because you know, it's not hundreds of people entering. It's only, you know, anything up to about 20 people entering. So
that actually shocks me, if I'm being honest. Like 12 weeks of really good prizes. The chance of winning is huge because not too many people are commenting. Yeah. And again, as I said, you don't have to be taking part. Anybody can win it. You don't have to be gearing up for a marathon or anything like that. Just comment and you can not just win some really, really good prizes, in fairness.
Yeah, comment and subscribe. So, don't forget to subscribe.
Yeah, comment and subscribe. Big thing that happened to us this week, obviously, is we've now officially launched our Runner's Diary podcast fundraiser for 2024. So we've been doing an awful lot of talking and we've been doing an awful lot of planning, and we did hope to have this out a few weeks earlier, but just the work that's, like, I'll be honest with you, and like both myself and Damon have put, and it will never be seen, but the work that's gone in the background already just to get this one up and running between our various calls and phone calls and getting things over the line. So yeah, we're really rocking and rolling now, so we're going to push this more. Again, for those that don't know, we did a few fundraisers last year, just off the cuff, really, and they were a huge success. And then this year, as many know, again, we had a challenge in January where a huge amount of our followers got involved in the 5K day challenge, and it kind of spawned the idea that we'd try and do something again later on in the year, but this time do it for a charity. And again, like that challenge we had in January, you know, we do everything as volunteers, as being enthusiastic about running. And if we can help people along the way, great. And, you know, we don't charge anything. We don't ask for anything. We don't charge clubs, individuals, or anything like that. So all we ask is people get behind us when we do things. And this is another one that you can get behind. So,
and two very worthy causes as well, more importantly. So Crumlin Hospital, which obviously, you know, is an absolutely such a deserving charity, do amazing work up there. And then Breakthrough Cancer as well, which again is another extraordinary charity. So they're the two charities we're having this year. Just a breakdown for people so that they know, the t-shirt is €30. It's a beautiful t-shirt designed by Bween National School. So a massive thank you to them and all the pupils who helped design this t-shirt. So what we've done is €30. €15 of that is going directly to the charities, so it's be split 750 each way, and that includes postage and packaging, your €30 as well. So it is,
and covering the cost of the t-shirt
and covering the cost, of course, yeah, yeah, as well.
So nothing at all,
So,
other than the proceeds
and in
going
fairness
directly,
to
yeah.
Runawogan and all the lads in Mayrun Results as well, they've done this at a bit of a loss for themselves as well, just to kind of help push this a little bit as well. So you know what I mean? There, it's you know, it's this is a big effort from a lot of people to get this across the line,
Yeah,
and
and again, just to explain, maybe you don't need to be doing anything. If someone wants to get this t-shirt to go for a walk down the road, that's fine. If someone wants to get this t-shirt and wear it in a race, brilliant. If you want to run a marathon in it, brilliant. If you want to join us at the women's mini marathon, where we'll be looking quite different, I would say,
dapper.
you can do that too. So again, if you play GA, if you play soccer and you want to use it as a training top, there's so many options. If you want to get it as a gift for someone, do that. But all the big thing is, this is our fundraiser. We've great following, great support, and here's your chance now to give something back and make a difference. And wouldn't it be great in a couple of months' time if we turn around and say we raised great money between us all, not just me and Damon, that all of us together made great money for two great charities. And like, to be fair, they are charities that touch so many people. We know so many people ourselves that have been helped out by these two charities. So I think, look,
Amazing.
it's a great chance for the running
Yeah.
community, to get together
So
and do
hopefully
this,
get behind it. We will be pushing this, so we will be annoying everybody, so get used to that. Right. Next one, another thing that kept us busy for the last few weeks is officially we obviously launched the after party for Cork City Marathon. This is happening on the June Bank Holiday weekend in the Deep South on Grand Parade. It is going to be similar to last year's, where we're going to have the guests up on the stage, having chats, kind of coming down, mingling, having a bit of fun, having a bit of crack. And we're going to have some spot prizes as well on the night, or the day, sorry, for people to win as well. So there's going to be loads going on. It's going to be another massive success, I've no doubt already, because last year was brilliant. This year will be no different. So if you're doing anything in Cork, and that's again, if you're racing, supporting, or anything, head back to the Deep South afterwards. I'm pretty sure, Brian, the area, booking area, is booked out now for, but
Yeah, you can
there's
still go there,
still
but just tables,
hundreds and
obviously.
hundreds and hundreds of tables there. So like don't worry about that. There is still going to be plenty of room for people there afterwards. But again, make sure you pop in and give us
Group
a big
tables, I
hug.
suppose, are kind of booked, isn't
Yeah.
it? But there's still
But
plenty
look,
of room.
still you can come in, you can stand, you can do everything.
And
So
one other big thing to say about that is we have the amazing Ed Fitz back with us again. Ed, as many people would know again, is actually lead cyclist in the race. At one stage, he didn't gets back quickly to go pacing in the half marathon. Then he crosses over and comes into us and operates as a DJ. So a guy that gets we get the full money worth out of on he's a jack
exactly.
of all trades, in fairness. But yeah, so look, again, keep a close watch on our social media pages for all those little bits of news that we've announced there. Now, you caught up with someone during the week, and at this week's guest, maybe we might be explaining that one.
Yeah, so I had a chat with Niamh O'Sullivan from Unreal, who is, of course, the coach to one of our past guests as well, Shauna Islip. So Shauna, of course, who is in phenomenal form, she's coached by Niamh. But also, Niamh is the coach to the under 20s and under 23 Irish Eurocross teams. She's a phenomenal athlete herself. Ran for Cork, has an All Ireland cross country medal with Cork, and was it Sonia's first year on the team as well. And obviously, then she moved back to Kerry, so she moved back to Kerry. Master records going out her ears. She's World Championships, European Championships. Represented Ireland in all grades, so phenomenal athlete. And it'd be actually a great chat because she's also physio. So we had a little bit of chat on that. And I must say, now I say this every week, Brian, and we do say this, and I mean this, but like we say, look, at the time, I literally looked at the time and we were 55 minutes in, and I was like, I feel like we haven't touched anything in this. She was such a brilliant person to chat to, and I was delighted to get to her. So I really encourage people, and I encourage actually people to who are coaching men and women, who are coaching women as well, to have a listen to it as well, because we touch on things like that as well. So I would definitely have a listen to it and try to get the word out there, because again, thank you to Neil, because I actually really enjoyed it myself.
I know Niamh's name because I have spoke to some people, and like even Lindy Naughton, who helps us out every week, like has so much high regard for Niamh as well, and she's very well respected out there. So again, I haven't actually listened to this one yet, and you did the job on your own there, so well done. But I'm looking forward to listening to this one as well.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We're going to flake onto a little
Hold
bit of
on a
business.
second.
Go on. Oh, sorry.
Talking about past guests, we have to mention another past guest,
Go on.
Rose Harvey. Well done to Rose Harvey, who was on with us a couple of weeks ago. She actually has been selected now to run for the Great Britain Olympic team. So another Olympian that we can say was on the podcast. So well done to Rose.
It's all after the bump. It's the bump after the podcast, lads.
Yeah, we
It's what
got to say, and
happened.
one other one that I'm going to give a shout out to that we missed last week, Donald Fallon. Sorry, I know we're going around, but Donald is a great supporter of the podcast. Went to Vienna, I think, last week, hoping to run 3:20 because he was long back from injury, and he ends up going sub three. So that's some performance, in fairness. So well done, Donald.
Oh, well done. Donald is a massive supporter for us, in fairness to him, and a lovely guy. So thank you and well done, Donald. That's a phenomenal run, in fairness to you. So we move on to the business. We had a couple of competitions, Brian, which was the Middleton 5 mile race, which is taking place on the 2nd of May. So again, this is an extremely popular race, and a massive thank you to Middleton for reaching out and supporting us. And we were able to pick a winner, and I will find that winner. The winner was Rachel Cronin. So Rachel, you actually picked two people as your running buddy, so you get the choice to pick which one you want to bring to the Middleton 5 mile race. And again, if you want to enter this race, make sure you head to their Facebook page or their Instagram page, and there'll be more information there. But a very, very popular race, always draws big crowds. So best of luck to everybody in that. This week's competition. And this week's competition is for two entries to the Bournemouth 5 mile race, which is taking place on Monday the 6th at 11 a.m. Now, this is a very, again, if, even if you don't win this, €10 entry, which is very, very, very reasonable, a very good race in association with North Cork Athletics. 5 mile loop start and finishes at Burnford National School, and a very slight elevation. So, you know, it's a no-brainer to get down there. And race collection from 9:30 a.m. as well. So make sure you get down there to support that race. But there's a
Yeah.
leeway. Yeah.
Just saying, because that race is on the 6th, which is the bank holiday Monday, we'll announce that. So we're going to announce that we launched that race competition on Tuesday, but we'll announce the winners maybe on Thursday to give people a chance to get into that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the way to enter them competitions is to we put a post out on Tuesday and like our page and tag your running buddy. It's that simple, and we will announce that winners then on the, as Brian said, on about Thursday.
Yeah, cool. Polls. We'll go to the polls again. They've been popular enough. So the poll
Yeah.
each week, and last week's poll was.
Last week's poll was, where do you listen to the Runner's Diary podcast? So the answers were, the question, the replies were, on a run, at home, at work, at the gym, in the car, and other. What one, Brian?
I'm interested in this one actually, because even myself, when I was thinking about myself, like sometimes I do listen to it on the run, sometimes I listen to the car. So I think I listen mostly in the car.
I was listening, mine was in the car as well. That's where I listened to it the most, but it wasn't the winner. So we had a winner which had 34.3%, which was on a run or a walk.
Yeah.
So that was the winner. In second place was in the car with 25.4%. In third place was at work at 19.4%. And
While working, of course.
while working, yeah, of
Yeah.
course, productively. Then at home at 17.9%. Second last was other. So I'd love to know what other is. I'd be interested to see what that
Cycling,
was.
maybe, or something like
Yeah,
that.
something like that. And last was at the gym, which had zero. So we have
Yeah.
no one who likes
I've
listening
listened
to
to
us
the
in the
gym once.
gym.
So it's
So,
quite interesting, though, because there's a good spread there, and they're not too
no.
far away from each other, like, yeah.
So this week we went with another poll, and this week's poll is, what is your favorite part of the race of a race? Is it the warm up with your buddies and the chats beforehand? Is it the race itself, or is it the spread afterwards, i.e. the teas and coffees and the chats? So which is your favorite part of a race? Brian, do you want to wait to your answer for next week before you give it to us, or would you like to give an answer?
All of it, I think, yeah.
All of it. Good
But you
talk. See,
can't say
you
that,
can't
can
pick, you can only pick one. You can
you?
only
I
pick
know
one.
people are
But
going to say
look,
teas and
yeah,
coffees, I think,
I
but
think that's
I
going to
like
be
the race
your,
too,
yeah. So that's another one out of so that can be out as well. So again, if you don't listen to us on Spotify, head over there anyway and answer the poll.
yeah. Look, we've a lot going on there, competitions and announcements and all that, but there is some major running news as well, I suppose, and there's been a lot going on over the last couple of days there in terms of international performances. But yet again, we seem to be drawn to the amazing Rashida Adeleke, who yet again set things alight last night there, or yesterday, I should say. We're recording on Sunday, obviously, but this time at the 100 meters. So obviously, she'd be a 400 meter specialist, drops down to do the 200 meters. But she kind of scratched her head knowing that she ran a 100 meters invitational event and, ran 10.84, beat two world champions, two very accomplished field, actually. So another one to wonder, is it
Yeah, no,
potential?
to be fair, I did see on that as well. There was a very strong, it actually wasn't a legal race.
No,
So,
the headwind,
we
does it?
just need, we do, it was like, it was, it was a 0.3, 3.4, I think, win. So, it was a very strong, so it was a very fast race. But you're still able to
Well,
turn the legs over, that is incredible.
as the saying goes, you can only beat what's put in front of you, and she beat them
100%,
all. So,
100%.
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But look, well done again to Rish. But then also there was plenty of racing this weekend as well elsewhere. But you also had a, is it the Hamburg? I think it's Hamburg
Hamburg
Marathon and Half
Marathon,
Marathon
yeah. I
as
think a
well.
few past guests, Gara Hanlon again, and Hugh Armstrong, obviously having a great race there. So well done to, again,
Yeah,
anyone
and
who's.
again, look, I encourage people, because look, at the end of the day, we do miss things ourselves. If there's something you see, just tag us in it or send it to us on our Instagram or Facebook page as well, because it would be brilliant to be able to give a few shout out to people that we miss and things like that. So if you are listening and you would love someone to get a shout out for something, just send us a direct message or anything like that, and we will definitely make sure it happens the following week. But with that, we will move to our results.
Yeah, and first up, we'll hear from Mags Hassett, who's reporting to us on everything IMRA.
Mags here from IMRA Munster with a race report for Gugganbarra Mountain Race on Sunday, the 28th of April. This is the third race in the Fog and the Bog League, and the weather was ideal. 51 people were signed up for this race of 9.7 kilometres and 475 metres of elevation. The winners were female 1, Siobhan Deneen, 2, Helen O'Callaghan, 3, Debbie McCarthy. Male 1, Anthony Forrestal, and joint second, Nick Hogan and Henry Brown. Thanks to Tom Farley and his fantastic team of volunteers who put on an epic race in this beautiful place. The next races in the IMRA Munster calendar are Garry Duff Woods on Wednesday, the 1st of May. This is the first race in the Summer Autumn Trail League. And Glengariff on Sunday, the 5th of May. This is the fourth race in the Fog and the Bog League.
And thanks for Mags there for that. Again, brilliant report for the Gugganbarra race. So massive thank you and keep up the great work. And I've no doubt plenty more mad stuff coming up in the near future.
Still waiting for you to do your IMRA race. You were all talking a couple of months ago there about, oh, I'm definitely going to do an IMRA
Brian,
race this
I'm
year.
doing
Oh, look at
Carrigan on
me.
Wednesday. That's enough, right?
Yeah. All right. We'll see. We'll see. We've a couple of months to do getting in there yet.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of time.
We'll keep the roving reporting going. This time we'll head to Lindy Naughton, and there was a quite a busy week up the east of the country in particular, both for races and certain individuals who were running around. So Lindy, I know, will give us a good update on everything related there. So over to you, Lindy.
Hello everyone. Today we have a tale of two very different races held over the weekend, which help illustrate the evolving nature of our sport. I think so anyway. First up was the national so-called Road Relay Championships in Raheny, Dublin on Sunday afternoon, where the well-established Dublin clubs pretty much dominated all but one of the five races. A young, mostly Dundrum South Dublin A trio won the women's senior race slightly unexpectedly, while Clonliffe Harriers, powered by Ephraim Gidday, had a more predictable victory in the men's senior race, which was the final race of a busy and interesting afternoon of racing. First up had been the Master Women in a combined 1 mile, 2 mile, 1 mile race for the over 35 and over 50 age groups. That was the format for all races except senior men, by the way. Leading home 13 teams in the over 35 class was Sports World, followed by host club Raheny Shamrock and Metro St Bridget's. Ennis Track proved best of the over 50 teams, with Raheny second and Finn Valley third. In the men's over 50 race, which came next, City of Derry Spartans, powered by Declan Reid on the 2 mile lap, beat Inishowen AC, a team that included the legendary Pádraig McKinney. Metro St Bridget's was third. Raheny made it a home win in the over 35 men's race, catching Clonliffe on the 2 mile leg. Clonliffe, Andrahada and District were second and third, with 17 teams finishing. A record total of 26 teams finished the women's senior race. Emer Maher was leading for eventual winners Dundrum South Dublin after running the opening mile, and although Emma McAvoy, who's only back from injury, was caught on the 2 mile leg by Rahini's Niamh Kearney, she made sure to stay in touch. On the final mile leg, Amy O'Donoghue powered into the lead for DSD, and in the end, just 5 seconds separated the top three teams. DSD the winners, Tullamore Harriers second, and UCD third. Rahini ended up fourth. Finally came the men's senior race with a longer 2 mile, 1 mile, 3 mile, 2 mile format, and 32 teams lining out. Clonliffe Harriers had entered 7 teams for the race and all 7 finished, which must be some kind of record. Clonliffe, by the way, entered 20 teams of varying standards in all, which is most certainly a record. On the opening 2 mile leg, Killian Kerwin for Rahini finished just clear of Rathfarnham WSAF's Mitchell Byrne, and Rahini held onto the lead on the mile leg, taken on by Kieran Kelly in his second run of the day. Only on the 3 mile leg did Clonliffe take command with Ephraim Gidde, clocking a superb time of 13.42 and handing over to Ian Guyden with half a minute to spare. Guyden duly brought the team home, while for second place, Mark Hanahan pulled Ennis Track Club into second place with a time of 9.08 for the leg, the fastest 2 mile time of the day. So the big question remains, given the evident Dublin dominance when a Dublin club hosts an event, should the national road relays move around? It's certainly an easier event for a club to organise than, say, the All-Ireland Cross Country Championships, which for some reason do not take place on the officially designated national cross country course at Abbottstown. Now for the second race, a race called the Another Way 5K, organised by New Club Coolock in Darndale Park, which, like Rahini, is on Dublin's north side. This attracted a massive entry of almost 500. Members of Ballymun AC, Cherry Orchard, D15, Sheriff Street, Garristown Flyers and North Clondalkin all turned out in force, as well, to be fair, as members of Rahini Shamrock and Clonliffe Harriers. Stephen Butler of Rahini was the winner in 16 minutes 1 second. First woman was Chrissy Harford in 2032. So now for the big question. How do we get these younger clubs set up for road running, interested in what, for want of a better term, can be called tradition athletics, cross-country, track and field and relays? At the moment, we seem to have two types of athletics. We need to think hard about what we're going to do. And that's all for this week, folks.
Again, thanks, Lindy, for such information every week. It's really full of great info. So again, great reporter. Thanks a million, Lindy, for your input every week. And I know it's much appreciated by everybody. So on we go again now to more local races to ourselves here.
Big one, Bendon AC 5K, who again was a past competition for ourselves, which took place on Thursday, April the 25th. All proceeds were going to raise money for their track, so it was great to see actually 327 down there, which is a great number. Gavin Kenny from Bendon AC, from the home club, took the win in a very impressive 15.34, with Finn Yore from West Musgrave AC closely behind in 15.47. And regular listener John Lonigan from St. Finbar's AC came third in a time of 16.01. In the ladies, Hannah Steeds from Leevale AC took the win in a very, very impressive 16.38. So Hannah's running so well at the moment, so it's brilliant to see that. In second place was Catherine Murphy from Eagle AC in a time of 17.49. So Catherine carries on with a very impressive year of podiums. And in third was Jen Martin in a time of 17.57.
Just to take you back to one of the names there, and I think one to watch, Finn Yore, who came second in the male event there from West Musgrave's AC, is a young athlete who we have called out a couple of times in the IMRA world. He does a lot of his running in IMRA, but I think an exceptional young talent. So I'm not sure what age he is, but I think he's quite young. So one to watch for sure.
Anyone's young compared to you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So next one, Shandon AC 4 miler took place, I think, on the same night as well as Thursday. So again, results there. So first, Evan Fitzgerald in a time of 20:04. Second, Robert Troy from Liscarroll AC in 2015. And third, good father to show again from West Limerick AC, Declan Guinea, in a time of 20:54. In the ladies' event, former guest again, Michelle Kenny from Leave LAC in a time
Don't
of
mention our
22,
ages.
no, 23:14. Female second, again, I think a young athlete here from North Cork AC, Emma Flynn, in a time of 23:34. And third from Bilbao AC, Pamela Kirby in 25 minutes. A good spread of clubs there on the podiums.
I'm intrigued to see. I see Evan Fitzgerald is unattached at the moment. I wonder what club he's going to. I actually, I he's quite he's I don't know if he could be still with Clonmel, but he came up unattached. So because I know at the moment we're in that window of where people are unattached till they move to the new club, so that will be interesting
Maybe
to
he just didn't
see.
enter his club name for some
Maybe
reason.
not, but is he unusually did they leave out the name, not write down unattached? So
You'll
okay, I'll
be spreading
have to.
rumors though, maybe.
Yes,
I
as
don't
again, sure.
know.
Look what happened when I
We'll be
said
put right straight away now.
100% and dead right too. It's not April Fool's anyway, so it's okay. In the Bartlemy 6K, John Meade took the win in 20:36 with Gary Slade from St Nicholas in a time of 21:36 and Paul Kearney from Ada Running Club in a time of 21:52. Keely Teisdale in Clonmel from Clonmel AC took the victory for the ladies and was fourth overall, I think, Brian, wasn't
I think
she?
it was fourth,
Yeah, in a time
for the
of
second week in a row, actually.
21:57. And Clodagh Fitzgibbon from Grange Mhuir in a time of 25:09 was in second place, and Rachel Walsh from Grange was third in 26:24.
I think Keely is like I know we call her out every week, but a phenomenal year. Like you talk about Catriona Murphy there as well, and Michelle Kenny, all these names we keep calling out, but Keely is like turning up at two races a week and podium at him was just
Yeah,
incredible, you know.
exactly. Yeah.
Again, just a quick shout out to another one. We haven't got the full results here, but just well done to everybody who ran at the Ross Carberry Surf and Turf half and 10K, but in particular to our star man Rory O'Hagan, who I think
All
honoured.
orange as well, very
Was he
stylish.
all orange?
All orange. There's a
Mr.
photograph of
Tango.
him. There's a photograph of him at one stage. Not sure what he's trying to do, but he's like pointing to the air. I think it's. Looks like a Usain Bolt, but there's a couple of lads behind him going, "What the hell is this fella up to?" So, you've been tangled, came to mind there every once in a
It's
while
the
with
closest thing he is to a Bolt. No, it's Rusty Bolt. So it's not
him. Oh,
Usain
jeez,
Bolt. Stop it. He
right.
can edit that bit out himself. So we'll go to Roscommon, I think, after that.
Jesus.
He won't forgive that one.
No.
Roscommon Harriers 5K took place as well. So again, just a quick show, good to have races in the West as well. So Jordan Walsh was first there in a time of 16:35. Second, from Roscommon Harriers AC, Declan Ryan in a time of 17:18. And again from Roscommon Harriers AC, Adrian Smith in a time of 17:27. In the ladies' event, Bet O'Mahony was first in a time of 19:52. Anne-Marie O'Dowd from Athlone IT, 2019. And Maura Dervin from Londonderry Harriers in a time of 20:34. And again, as Damien mentioned earlier, like we do go searching for results, and we do would like to get into the west of Ireland a bit more. And if there is results to call out, then certainly get in contact. So we'd be only too happy to do so.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a lot of results. But look, if there's a race we missed, well done to everyone who took part. It's great to see people out racing, especially when the weather is, been half decent the last few days. With that, we'll move to our featured fixtures. So we'll start off with a couple of races that, if you're listening to us later on in the week, we'll have probably taken part already. But look, if you're listening for Monday and Tuesday, you still have time to sign up for these races. First one is the Carrignavagh GAA 5K, which is taking place on 1st of May. So
There's
it's the
someone I
annual.
know. Is there someone I know running in that one? I'm sure I think I've heard something, right?
Yeah, there's a fellow running it. So he is going to
Well
try.
gone past his best, I hear too.
Oh, well past it. Well, 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 well past it. So I will be there. With our lovely runner's diary sign, getting photographs with people. So make sure you pop over and say hello if you are up there. The annual 5K obviously is in Carrignavagh and is tied with Carrignavagh A or Carrignavagh AC. So, it should be a very good race. I'm actually looking forward to it, really, Brian. I went up with the expectations of just going up to enjoy it, and I actually
I know
can't
what you're
wait
going
for
to
it.
say. You're going to have the expectations that you're going to win it. Yeah.
I'd say that for next year.
Okay.
So yeah, make sure you get out there and make sure you pop over to say hello.
No, another one is the Brendan Canaan 5K race. And that takes place also on the 1st of May in Dundrum. I think a very popular race. I can remember this one from last year as well. Had a great attendance. So this race is held in memory of Brendan, who was a huge part of the Dundrum AC Club. And again, I think it's another one you can talk on because he blew up or something here last year, didn't you, with a bad day at the office? Yeah, so.
It was not last year, it was a couple of years ago. Yes, as I said, I think last week, Brian, so this is old news. I don't know why you keep bringing this up.
Just to make sure that everybody knows, I just
I
want to get it out
made
there.
it was a tank, there was a 10K down there as well, and I made one lap. And amazingly, the email we got happened to mention that as well. So,
You
Paul,
made such an arse of yourself that they spotted you.
Paul, there was no need for that. I'm deeply upset that you mentioned the fact that I had to pull out, which I think is one of the few races I've actually
There's a
ever
long way
pulled
to
out
go
of.
at Dundrum to for that to happen to you, didn't
Yeah,
it?
exactly. So thanks for that, Paul. Really appreciate it. But yes, we'll still call out the race.
Yeah, last week's competition is our next up. So it's the Middleton 5 mile road race that takes place on May the 2nd. That's Thursday evening. A very popular race again, held in East Cork. It's on at 8 p.m. And again, I'm sure they'll have a great race there. So that's the Middleton 5 mile Joe Horrigan Memorial Race on Thursday the 2nd of May at 8 p.m.
Yeah, and the next is on May the 5th. It's the Drogheda 10K. So this is a massive event. Nearly gets over 2,000 people every year. Very fast, very, great entries as well for clubs again, which do a group entry on that. So, it's a lovely little incentive for people to get down there. €28, medal, t-shirt, which again, as you said, is a lovely t-shirt. And, make sure you get up to that. That's the Drogheda 10K.
Yeah, next one is this week's competition. So that's the Burnford 5 mile road race that takes place on Bank Holiday Monday, the 5th, I think, isn't it? Yeah, or sorry, the sixth of May, and that's at 11 a.m. And all proceeds there are going to the Burnford National School again. So well worth supporting there. It's just a 10 euro entry, as Damien mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
So that's on the 6th of May.
and the next race in our feature fixture is one of the biggest races of the year. It
In
is
the
the
world.
Buin in the world. It's the Buin 5K. So that is taking place on the 12th of May. Brian, what's the start time as the race organizer?
It's actually earlier this year, would you believe? We've been 12 noon always, so please don't make a mistake and arrive an hour later. So the race this year takes place at 11 a.m. and we have a proud tradition of races starting on time. So, we will be starting, and it's a one-way road up to start line. So you don't want to be coming up the road when everybody's running against you. So get there. And as I said last week, it is numbers are really picking up in the last few days. We've gone well over 50%. No, I didn't check it, but I think on Friday we were gone over 50% sold out. And as we're going into the last 2 weeks now, I expect that will spike even more. So there's a good chance that there won't be entries on the day. So I would encourage people, if they are really looking to do it, to make sure they sign up online for this one.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Next one up is the Cheetah Photo Wildlife Park run. Again, it's an exceptionally unique event, I think.
Sold
It's
out
nothing
event.
sold out, actually. Yeah, exactly. That's right. I'm one of those participants. Looking forward to that one. My first time actually doing it. So might bring the GoPro down there and get a few nice shots. And as you said, might bring down the sign as well for people below. But that's on at 8 p.m. In the Photo Wildlife Park. Thanks to Eagle AC. Superb organization, this race. Unique event, as we keep saying. So I'm looking forward to that one. Should be great night out.
Exactly, yeah. Then on
Next up then is
17th of
the,
May
yep.
is the Butterfent four
Yep.
miler, which is also part of the Rebel Diamond series. And Brian, as you are again part of that, would you want to give us a bit of details on that?
Yeah, so obviously Buin is race 3, and then quickly after that is race 4, which is the following Friday night, and that's the 17th, as you said, the Butterfent 4 miler. It's a great race, and like everything will happen that night. You'll have the results of the Butterfent race itself, but we'll also have the results of the league, so we'll know who the winners are. And again, anyone that takes part in all four races, we get a token as well. So I think it's going to be a very good week. It's kind of finishing up quite quickly, and I'll give you a quick shout out. So the league so far, with two races gone, Tadhg O'Sullivan is leading the way, followed by Liam O'Connor, and Conor McCrory and Alfie Davies are joint third at the moment in the overall league. And in the female rankings, Carol Finn leads the way, followed by Clotilda Fitzgibbon, Edel Buckley, Dawn Walsh, and Marie Therese Buckley as well. So again, great. Hopefully those people will see it out all the way to the finish now.
Yeah, well done again to everyone. So a couple of races there on the 18th of May. You've the Trilly 50k Ultra, which is a 10k loop. So always a very big race there. So, you know, make sure you get down to the Trilly 50k Ultra if you're mad enough for that. Sign up for it. Also, and next we have the Stonyford 5k and 10k, which is taking place on the 19th of May in Kilkenny. So scenic route, you know, you get your spread afterwards, which is actually massive spread afterwards, t-shirt, the whole lot of it. So it's definitely one to get down to. So that's the 19th of May. Always a great event, so make sure you sign up to that soon.
Yeah, looking out a bit further, we're heading to July next. So Thursday the 11th of July is the hugely popular Docklands 5k. And again, you know, it's a huge race, sells out, I think, a lot as well. So again, check that one out. They have their own website, actually. It's www.docklands5k.com. So RT as well, huge sponsorship involved. It's Thursday the 11th of July and it starts at 7:45 p.m.
Yeah, brilliant. So that's our featured fixtures. Again, we make sure you head out and support these races that support us, that give us competitions, so that people can get out there and run these races, which they may not do without it. So again, thank you to everybody. Right, we move so to our interview, which is sponsored by Shoe Rescue. So Brian, last week I got to go down to the Shoe Rescue factory and to meet Eddie down there and to see the whole production and the whole lot of it. And when I was driving down, I in my head had this picture of this massive factory, you know, and hundreds of workers. I don't know what I was thinking. And it was just so class to walk in there. This small little area, which everything on that shoe rescue is done by hand. So and when I say everything, I mean pretty much everything. So obviously they have a machine that grinds it all, mix it all up and everything like that, right? But then the pouring into the tub is done by hand. The stickers onto each tub is done by hand. The spoon that goes into it is done by hand. The lid is done by hand. The packing is done by hand. Everything is in there is done by hand and all done in Middleton in Cork as well. So, you know,
and then they put up with you
and then they put up with me down there as well. And yeah. You know, in fairness, Eddie, very accommodating with his time. He'd been a great supporter of us for the, you know, the few months, and with plenty more to come with Eddie as well. But look, again, I couldn't get over it. And when people say support Irish, I mean, this is so Irish. It's mad. Do you know what I mean? So like everything is done down there on site in Middleton as well. So, you know, buy this product and you're supporting local, and that is what you are doing with that product. So again, thank you to Shoe Rescue. Thank you to Eddie and all the team there for the support. Right, our interview this week is, of course, with Niamh O'Sullivan of Unreact. Niamh is an unbelievable coach, an unbelievable athlete, and a physio as well. I can't say she's an unbelievable physio because I don't know that. But, you know, she is an unbelievable coach and runner because we do know that. So, Niamh was very accommodating with her time. Make sure you sit back, enjoy it. I am delighted to be joined by Niamh O'Sullivan of Unreact, an absolute legend in the running scene and incredible coach and someone who's, we got massive response to her. Niamh, how are you?
I'm feeling great. Thanks to William Damon. Thanks, William, for having me on. Looking
absolutely
forward.
Delighted to have you on. When we had Shauna on the last time, she spoke so highly of you that we were like, right, we're going to have to get Niamh on here just to have a chat. And we'll see, you know, does she speak so highly of Shauna later on as well? But what we're going to do, Niamh, we're going to treat this as every other interview. We're going to start off with our not so rapid fire questions. And talk as much as into these ones as you want. You can be a one word answer, or you can give us a bit more details. There's no problems. So we'll start off with road, treadmill, trail or track is your favorite. Which one?
Trail.
Okay.
Cross country usually, yeah. But
yeah, okay. Interesting.
So cross country would be the first one.
But cross country, yeah, we should trail. That's my fault. I should have changed that. favorite shoe brand?
I'm not haven't engaged in the super shoes yet, so I'm going to be very simplistic and say Nike Pegasus, and I wear the Brooks Hypericum Racer as well.
Okay, very good. Miles or kilometers?
Miles, pace, kilometer splits. That's
Okay,
complicated, but that's the way I
interesting.
find that's the way it works most with the athletes coaching, and just as well too, it works well.
Yeah, and I say as a coach, you kind of do have to be able to use both of them, really, don't you?
You do, yeah. And I mean, some are very, very focused on one, but that, a mileage per week, a mile pace, and then a kilometer split. I just find it covers that, ticks all the
Interesting.
boxes.
That's actually a guess. That's the first time we've heard that one
Right.
now. So there you go. Right. This one now, favorite distance.
10K on the road,
10K on the road. It's
or
gas, but
8K cross country.
yeah, I was just about to say, I love the way like
So if I had to
you're
pick one, 8K cross country, yeah.
okay, okay. Because I was saying, it's gas, how you picked cross country is your favorite and then your favorite distance. But no, we stick with your first answer, 10K on the road.
All right.
Favorite race that you have run.
There is a run.
And it could be, though, it doesn't have to be a specific, it can be like any race. It doesn't mean you have to have your favorite time or anything, but as in from the atmosphere, from the whole lot of it.
I won the 8K cross country in Tampere in Finland there 2 years ago, and I felt really great on the day. It was a marvelous team, marvelous experience. So I put that down as
That
one very special one.
that's a nice one. Always a gold medal is always brings that way up in the list
Yeah,
anyway.
sure does.
Do you prefer training in the hot or cold weather?
Hot.
Hot, okay. Morning or evening runner?
Definitely morning.
Excellent. Right, so we're into the slightly more complicated ones now. So three people you would like to have a meal or a drink with, these people can be dead or alive. Not at the table, obviously, they'll all be alive at the table, if it was like that.
Right. I'm going to be totally bizarre on this one now. There are no
Okay, go
film
on.
stars. I'd love to meet three coaches around the table and we just thrash it out for the night, and I go for Chris Jones, who I did a mentoring program for. I'm a huge fan of his style. Helen Cleethro, who's Kieran McGeane's coach and a marvellous athlete herself. And to go back a little bit further, and for his experience as well too, and his profound knowledge, I go for Alan Storey.
Yeah.
That's bizarre three, but I would love a night like that.
No, Alan asked because Alan fascinates me as well because he's just coached some incredible top athletes as well himself. And I know recently he was with Aoife Cook as well. And
Absolutely, absolutely.
he's had some incredible athletes, and he's someone, all right, you would love to poke the mind out of them there to see what makes some people tick as well. I'd love to know how these people react to him as well, you know what I mean? Because he's still a very kind of, well, I use the term old school coaching now. And when you're
He
trying to
is,
bring
but that's
that,
why it's so refreshing, I think, too, you know,
that's
because
it. And how do
and
these new
calls it as
people
it
come into
is.
it? Yeah, and how do these new people come in who, expect all this new high age stuff and is like, no, we're doing the basics here. And that I'm always kind of fascinated with sometimes with that side to it. Okay, favorite book or movie?
I loved Cathy Freeman's autobiography. It's just called Cathy, and I think it's just a marvelous book. It's a paperback. Everybody should read it. And it's, I mean, she was, I mean, an unreal athlete. Being the first Aborigine to ever hold the Olympic flame, literally the torch, to win the 400 meters, as you know, and the pressure that was on her, politics, sport, everything involved, and she really gives great detail. When she was up, she was unbelievable, and she was the hero. And when she was down, my God, she was down. She went through very, very dark periods. And I think any athlete should read it, any person at all interested in sport should read it, because it's a marvelous read. It just shows how if you do things right, you can swing it around. And then sometimes when it goes wrong, it can go very wrong. And just really knowing the difference between the two, it's a brilliant book. Brilliant
Yeah,
book.
and like I again, it's something that we spoke before we came on. It's fascinating how people with this high pressure, and we spoke with Katie Taylor as well with it, how they take the weight of all this expectation on their shoulders and literally just still perform to the top of their ability in the massive races. And I think an awful people can learn from athletes of that. But then how when they reach the bottom, which unfortunately again we can relate with slightly again with Katie Taylor when she in 2016 when it didn't go as well. And they just bounce back up again, you know what I mean? And it's just the mind of these people is just fascinating. It's
Oh, she was
unbelievable.
unbelievable. If, I mean, if anybody ever watched that race, even on YouTube, I mean, she didn't get up off the ground for so long afterwards. She just couldn't. It was just the whole, whatever about winning and exerting was the emotion and the whole lot, I think, just came tumbling down her. But it fabulous book, fabulous athlete, well worth a read.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, so last one. If you could take the place of another person in their greatest sporting moment, who would it be and why?
Oh God, that's a tough one. You know, I think Katie Taylor and her Olympic gold, I think, because I think she'd been through such a tough time. She, I think, came and I suppose she went tough time. She is new enough sport in Ireland to win at that level. I mean, I remember watching that inside in the hotel pub or something, well, the crowds. I mean, like the place just went bananas. And I mean, like, I think she just marked very quiet and very, you know, astute in her own ways. Now she's changed, obviously, since she's become professional, but at that stage, you know, and I just such admiration for her. And I thought it was a really, really, I suppose, iconic moment. I think it really was in sport for whether you were into boxing or not, whatever. I would think that was one absolutely marvelous moment.
Oh, I think it's one of the greatest cyber sport moments ever. You know what I mean? Again, as we said, was just that expectation. She went in, she expected, people expected her to win gold, and boxing, unfortunately, can go very wrong very fast. And for her to go away and do that, it was, oh, I always remember it myself. You know what I mean? It was just an incredible moment. Unbelievable, in fairness to
I wasn't suggesting now that I would take her place at the ring or
it.
anything like that. I don't think I'd be
Yeah,
my right bill, but
you want
for
the
the moment,
celebrations
for the moment.
afterwards. You want the
Yeah.
celebrations afterward. Her hand is
I think
lifted
there'll
up.
be a
That's
little
true.
difference in ability there.
Right. So let's start off. Obviously, you've had a massive career running with unbelievable successes between representing Ireland, representing, clubs in Kerry and Cork, which we will come to at some stage. But we go through briefly of like how did you actually kind of get into running and, the progress to the highs that then followed.
Home is Killarney, Damon. So I started off in Fossa Parish and with a fabulous athletic club there. And community games was, I suppose, a huge thing there in Fossa, a small parish, which is the Cliffords now as well, as well known. But again, it was a marvellous community atmosphere as well, too. My dad was hugely into athletics and I suppose he was very involved in the club there. So I started running there underage community games, which is great for any kids to do. And then I kind of gave it up for a few years and went off to college and I was kind of playing a bit of soccer, a bit of basketball, whatever. And then I was back in Cork and I went down and I just ran an open sports down in the Mardyke just for a bit of fun. And I won the 1500 and I'm not a great 1500 meter runner, I stress that. But somebody came up and approached me afterwards and asked me would I join Leaville. So I wasn't running with a club at the time. So I said I would. And I went down the following Thursday night and Donny Walsh was there and Ray Shannon and a gang more, and I couldn't find anybody running less than 8 miles, and I hadn't run 8 miles, so and all I had was a pair of Adidas runners, whatever. So I was tearing down the marina. I couldn't talk to anybody because they were running so fast, and I ran 8 miles that Thursday. I couldn't walk for 3 days afterwards. So that was my introduction to Leaville, but the crack down there was unbelievable, and I'd say I hardly missed a training session there for years afterwards. Only Tuesday and Thursday nights, and then race or session at the weekend. But it's where I started off. It was one marvellous, marvellous club. And I mean, like, there's so many names of people that were there, you know, now that are not running anymore, or they've, you know, might be coaching or gone abroad or whatever. But I loved it. And I stayed with Leaville until I got married then to my husband, Conor Kavanagh, we were both working in Cork then, and he got a job with Kerry Group in Tralee. So I moved down and I kept running with Leaville for a while. And then Joe Walsh approached me one day and asked me would I join Rioch, and I did, and fantastic club.
You,
Love it.
you've
And
never looked
been with
back
there
since
since.
then.
I've never looked back since, no. And it's a marvellous club and delighted to be part of it.
And you still obviously like you had when you were with Leaville and that you had massive success. Like you represented Cork and you won a national title with Sonia O'Sullivan on the team and all,
Was
which is.
her first national cross country kill and all. She was 17 that time, and I was on that was some team. I mean, like Cork at that stage had, you know, obviously Sonia and Anita Philpott and Vida Dennehy Willis, and there was 20, 30 more, like whatever. It was the mecca of athletics at that stage.
And How was Sonia at that stage? Was she, was she still, because Sonia would be again kind of like a deaf,
Oh,
kind of
she was,
shy
I
and stuff.
mean, Sandy was so young and, kind of always going. I mean, like, I would have met Sonia several times over the years afterwards, when I was leaving down. And now I meet her because I'm involved with the under 23s and the juniors, Eurocross teams for the last, 5, 6 years. And Sophie's obviously been running and get to meet Sandy a lot, which is great. And oh, she was a fantastic athlete. So, and again, I suppose been with her right through those few years. And then she progressed on to the marvelous career that she has,
Yeah,
fantastic.
exactly. Yeah, and like obviously you carry on, you went to Unreal. Did your training there over time change, as in like did you kind of go, right, I'm now 10Ks, as in I'm not doing them 8 miles long ones, now I'm gonna go back to what I want to
And
do, or what way was it?
it was funny, really. When I was in Leaville, I was coached by Ray Shanahan, his daughter Louise, well, at this day. But Ray was a brilliant coach, and I used to love the sessions up there and kind of the more track based and speed based and that as well. And marvelous. And then I came down to Raith, and I was living in Tralee, obviously, and I was just getting my physio practice up and running, so it was new days. But I actually used to meet people in Tralee, and we started running with groups there. So then I started coaching group in Tralee, and I'm mostly a grass runner. So it's nearly cross country would be my love, even though I know I said that in the other row, but cross country, I do most of my training on the grass, and I put a huge emphasis on it for injury prevention. And I just love running on the grass and on the fields and the trails anyway. And so, being honest, a lot of my training is in Tralee with my group. And then, obviously, if we're going on teams or if I'm going out to the track or that as well, too, Rioch would be massive as regards county teams, club teams, particularly marvellous club atmosphere there. So, very involved as regards getting the club teams out and getting the athletes out. So, we mix and match. In the summer now, we'd be up more on the track that as well. But
And
day to day
it's
wise, I'd probably be more on the grass in Tralee.
on the grass, and when you've won, obviously again you've represented Ireland umpteen times, in Europeans and in worlds, and you're one of the best masters runners in the world. How have you kept the appetite to run, so much and so consistency over the time?
I was my career was kind of unusual, Damien, in a way, in that I had a purple patch in my running career between 2004, 2005, and 2006, and in that time I got to world two world senior crosses in the World Championships and one in the Europeans, and that would have been in Belgium and Saint-Étienne and in Milan as well as the third one. So I was, kind of in my early 40s at that stage, which is quite unusual. At that stage, you might be thinking of hanging up the shoes. I was the opposite, and I actually seemed to improve. A lot of people say you improve after you've had kids. I think that really helped me. I have a son and a daughter, and who are both runners themselves now and athletes, but Fiona and David. But I actually ran very, very well in my late 30s and early 40s. So I actually got those three international caps, so the two World Cross and one Europeans, when I was in my early 40s. And then I won the race outright in those 3 years as well. I got my hat trick in the international cross country, the British and Ireland, the home countries, as they just called it then. And I had three outright wins there in the same 3 years. And then in 2007, I won that gold in Riccione in Italy. That was over 45 gold in the 8K. And then the following year, I got injured. And so I went to the best. I went to Ray Moran in Sports Surgery Clinic, and I went to Ger Heitmann, and I had microfractured on my knee, and it meant 4 months off. And this is where I had a huge understanding with Shona, which I'll add later. But and it meant really that you did the surgery and you couldn't, you could cycle and you could swim and you could do your strength training, but you couldn't run for 4 months. And I got the
And
racer out and
how did you
went.
cope with that, even mentally, because that's such a, from going obviously from such highs to all of a sudden, right, now you can't run for 4 months, something you've done probably nearly every day for how many years beforehand?
I think it fired me up so much, and I go back to Ray Moran there, and I really, it was fantastic. And I always think if anybody, an injury, if a runner gets injured, you really need to go to medics and the top people and all the people who are into their sport. So I remember him saying, "Look, we'll do this, we'll do that, and we'll do the microfracture. You won't be able to run for 4 months." And I said, "Fine." And he gave it away at the end. He said, "Have you any questions?" And I said, "Just by the way, I said you never mentioned that I should stop running." And he looked at me and said, "Never entered my mind." And that was him. And when we had the surgery afterwards, he said, "Look, that went very well." He said, "Rest up to you now." And it was, and I worked so hard on the rehab. So I said, I was on the bike, I bought an aquajogging suit, and aquajogging
Okay.
shoes,
Oh, jeez.
and I aquajogged, I'd say most days. I'm working, my physio clinic is in Crillie Sports Complex. So I was really, really lucky to have the facility there. So the aquajogging and the bike
I
at the
got a question,
SSC.
and as we're
Yeah.
talking about that, I'll ask this question. So the question came in: do you have any tips for someone who gets recurrent injuries? And I think you pretty much kind of answered it ever so slightly, but we'll like so for someone who's constantly getting, I presume the question is similar enough injuries. What advice would you give them?
It would depend too on the age of the person very much, you know, whether it's a juvenile or whether you're 18 or whether you're 68 or whatever. But I do think, you know, I suppose in a nutshell, I think you can't just run. And I think if you have an injury and you need to cross train, and even if you don't have an injury, I think you're a better athlete if you cross train.
Yeah.
And I would work on that philosophy very, very much in clinic as well too, because if somebody continue runs, say you have shin splints or you have knee problems or what we call a runner's knee or chondromalacia patella, whatever, but it's the knees generally in the lower legs that take us out.
I cut across on you because there was a second
Yeah.
question as well, which is how to best to overcome shin splints. And you just mentioned shin splints, you
Yeah.
know, and
Shin
that's
splints are a
that.
really interesting one, Damien, because
Yeah.
it comes this time of the year. And if you're looking at injuries or avoidance of injuries, I would look at two things. And I would look one, unfamiliar activity, and the other two is overuse. So if you go to the unfamiliar activity, it's just somebody has been running on the road all the time and they decide to go into on the track and they're changing surface and then they put on spikes and they're going so different surface, different spike, and you go in there and you haven't been on the track for a year and you go in there and you do 10 400s, whatever. Marvelous session. Delighted with you to have come back, and guarantee 2 or 3 days of that you're going to have sore shins because you've changed your surface. Obviously, you don't have the same shock absorbency, but also if you're on the spikes, you're in a lower heel. So your heel drop in your shoe might be, you know, 6, 8 millimeters in your spike, you're dead flat, change the surface, and too much too soon.
Yeah,
So
and I'll
usually you, yeah, sorry.
yeah, and my point in that as well as what for a lot of people is I think majority of people who get shin splints is tendencies they don't change their shoes regularly enough so that the shoe doesn't take the absorption of the compact on the ground anymore and all of a sudden it's just going straight up to them. So like I'd always say like obviously you have I think overuse is the biggest one, but I also think people just need to look constantly at right. Is my shoe totally worn here as well? And be sensible. I actually had a customer today who was like, "What's the best way to get rid of shin splints?" I was like, "It's actually time. You know what I mean? It's just you need to rest a little bit with shin splints. There's no magic potion that just gets rid of them,
I do think too,
unfortunately."
like your calf muscles are way, way stronger than the muscle of the front of your lower leg, the anterior there. So when you're propulsing, when you're pushing off, which you do all the time when you're running, you're working your calf very hard. So what happens is the calf gets tight, the calf gets fatigued. So then you start using the muscles at the front of the lower leg to pull up the foot. And they're not used to it. They're not as strong as your calf muscle. And it's that muscle imbalance really between the strong, tight calf and the much, much weaker tib anterior in the front of the lower leg. So you need to stretch the calf and you need to strengthen the front of the shin.
No, that's a very good point. I wouldn't have even thought of that one now because you forget this overload really sometimes it's just overcompensation then on the other side and you know no that's actually I didn't even think of that. That's so writing that down down there now because that's a new one for
Not
me.
more than that, too. Plenty of ice.
That's
Plenty of ice
exactly.
as well.
But we come back then obviously we come back to your running and you know you got through the injury and you said you were very disciplined with getting through that and everything like that. And then how was it when you got back? Did you get back quickly
I got
enough?
back. I had a brilliant few years and I got back. And I put it down to the cross training I did. I really worked hard in the pool. And like I couldn't run a step. I wasn't supposed to, but my legs were off the ground, obviously non-weight bearing. And then I progressed on with Ray's permission to actually weight bear in the aqua shoes in the pool. And they really, really strengthened up my knee and my leg. Now, when I came back running then, I just found I had got so strong. And I found the bike. I mean, I'm not a triathlete, I'm not a fast person to bike, but I will go out and cycle for hours. And I love just long distance cycling. And I had the surgery done in April, May, so I was out for the summer. We'd loved one of those few nice summers we had it then. And I came back and ran very well. I'd actually put it down to those few months that were off.
And again, your body just recouped, got, you know, came back fresh again, and then you kind of pushed back off into it. Highlight for you, obviously, you know, if there was, you mentioned your favorite race and things like that, but like, is there any other moment that straight away when you think of running of
that stands out for you in, you know, it, be it international or be it with your clubs, and any moment that particularly stands out to you straight away, that's something you love to go on. Yeah.
I won the senior short course cross country in Tyman Park as well. That was another moment. And the third time I got the hat trick and in the Masters that time. And again, it was in Santry that year, where the first year was in Croydon, the second year was in Falkirk in Scotland. So it was lovely to be in Santry. I love Santry anyway. And that was a lovely moment to get the hat trick, to get three in a row. So that was a particular memorable moment as well.
But you've been incre like you've an incredible list of honours, Neil, like, you know, from everything up to, you know, I think it was in it last year or the year before, as well. Like you've continued this massive success, and it's just it's your role of honour is just unbelievable. What keeps, I don't know, what keeps the appetite week in, week out? Is it just purely that you the love for running, or is it something else that kind of drives you with it?
Probably a bit of both. I absolutely love to run. I haven't even contemplated life without running, you know. So, and again, you learn from your injuries, and but any athlete going along and being there as long as I am, you learn from your mistakes as well too. And I've plenty of mistakes along the way. And the one thing that, you know, I was told after that, you know, your one thing is you'll run away, you'll run for years, but don't run a marathon. And I haven't. And my best times were my half marathons, you know. I mean,
Yeah.
and 10Ks, whatever, but I run 5Ks now. They're good for me. I hate them, but I do them. They're good, but it keeps me in the game. The cross country and the grass. I mean, people say you'll read stuff and say surface doesn't matter with running, you know, once you've got the shoes and you've got good shoes and do your S&C and the whole. I don't agree. And maybe it's from personal experience, but I find, particularly if you've got, you know, you might be in your 30s, you might be in your 40s, but if you've been running for a good few years, the knees really are what need the cushioning. And I find the grass absolutely fantastic. And I
Yeah.
do point to the grass running as longevity in your career, definitely, definitely so.
So I'll rule out that question of is when are you going to do a marathon? We'll take that
That
never.
one's gone out. I was following orders there. No, it's not that I wouldn't like to do it, but it's kept me in the game. And I do know that if I mean, I can go out and run by the last 100, 21K, not a bother.
Yeah.
But I know if I kept pushing that up, I don't want to take a chance because, you know, if I go out, you know, that's it. And I, you know, it's different really too. I mean, what keeps me motivated? I appreciate so much being able to run and to race now. I mean, when you're 20s and your 30s, you might get sick of it. You might decide, you know, you're in a relationship. You might go, should I go to abroad or work as hard or social life particularly. And, you know, there are different things that get in the way. But when you get to master's career in that as well, you get up every day and every day you could put on a pair of running shoes and go out and do an easy run, do a session and meet your friends, your best friends, your running friends. You can't replace that.
And I also think the for runners, the races are the new pubs. Do you know that kind of ways
Oh,
where you go and you just meet
absolutely. Yeah.
everyone goes out, oh, Wednesday night now we have a race on, and you know, you go out there and you have the teas and the coffees afterwards, and that's the new nightclub. Do you know
Which is
that's where
brilliant, which is
yeah.
brilliant, no?
It's an unbelievable scene, and the what thing about athletics all over the world is this is the same scene in every single city and county, and you know, every race has this atmosphere afterwards, and everyone has their you know, socializing and all, and nobody cares about themselves then, you know what I mean? As in, like, nobody cares about your personal PBs either. They all want to know just,
Which is the best? Which is the
yeah,
best?
how are you? How are things? How are you? Did you enjoy that? Yeah, no one's gonna go, what did you run? Or did you get a PB? Very few people will ask that question, and I love that about the running community. Again, it's just more of,
Absolutely. And getting
you
away from
know,
the Garmin, you know, it's
yeah,
nice.
just get
Yeah.
out. And I know, I don't get me wrong, I don't do it myself, but it is something that, you know, I actually saw, I can't remember his name, the English chap who came third in London. He wore a Casio watch for it, you know, no jam, he just ran off field, and I was like, Jesus, that's incredible. But like, it's not
It's
that long
marvelous.
ago everyone done that, you know what I mean? So it is fascinating. No, so we usually do this at the end, but I'm going to do it because we have pretty much three parts with yourself, Neil. Obviously you have your running, we have your coaching, and we obviously have your physio as well, which we'll all kind of touch. So for you now, from here, what's next for you on your running side, as in just so for your running side, what's in the future for you? Any big plans coming up?
Well, I suppose there's some international ones coming up now. There's Gothenburg coming up in August. That's the Masters. But again, I try and hit either the World or the European Masters if I can every year. It's a great motivator. I love the international cross country. That's always in, you know, November or whatever. I always try and make that team. Then good road races that as well. I'd like to get away for a few road races, like key road races maybe over the next few months as well too. I'd like to put something out there. You need to motivate yourself. I just don't want to be plodding along, and saying, yeah, sure, I'll pick up a race in 2 weeks' time. You have those and they're nice, they're great, but it is nice to have a few key ones out there too. So like I'll do the Irish Runner series now. I enjoy those. They're coming up. And Dunboyne 10K, it was great. Marvellous to get events like that. But maybe in the autumn then I love the cross country. And again, I wouldn't mind going away for cross country. That's it for Gatenburg will come in. If I go to Gatenburg,
Okay,
that would be in August. And that would be 8K cross country, so that'd be a nice one.
the proper stuff, the real racing.
Yeah, but you have to have a goal, you have to have something
Oh,
there to aim towards. I think that's really important. You need your short-term goals, but you need your long-term goals as well too.
100% agree with you. So we're going to move on now to your coaching side to it, right? And I'm going to start this with one question that I got. It was the first question within 5 minutes of the post going up, right? And the question is, who is your favorite person that you coach? I know you could probably guess who this is from, but the question is, who is the favorite person you coach?
God, that's very well, I'd have to say Shona, we've been through thick and thin, and we have, I think we've a good thing going. I mean, it's been tough and there's been peaks and troughs, and I hugely admire what she's come through, and we've gone through a lot together, and I think there's a lot of more very good stuff to come. And a lot of people would maybe have disagreed with me in the last 6 months that she didn't go for the marathon and try and get the marathon in Rome. And we opted for the, now nothing is, everybody can qualify till the 26th of May, so there's nothing written in stone, but she's in a good place at the moment. Nothing is, I suppose, picked her yet and can't be for another few weeks, but she's doing well on the points table towards the half marathon and also for the 10,000 meters on the track. But the half marathon would be the preferred. And as like Reid, I mean, she's had a very unfortunate time with injuries. I think she's huge talent, and that was demonstrated before she got injured and afterwards. But the time I'd really go back to is those few years when she was injured, and I've never seen anybody, and I've seen a lot of people go through my hands with doing physio and everything, the whole lot, with the same, I suppose, application and dedication and that mental toughness that she came through it. And it happened once and turn around and go back again. And the one thing about, with injuries, like I said earlier, it can be overuse and that kind of thing as well. But the thing with Shona is those injuries just came out of nowhere and she had no warning. And that was the thing. And that was particularly tougher because when it came back at the last time, she was flying. And when you see somebody, you got to work through. And that's, I suppose, that's a test to me, and it's huge a test for this to me, and saying, like, that's the time you're probably needed more than any other time. So it's not when somebody's up there and crossing the line and getting PBs. It's when, go back to Cathy Freeman, when you're down and then you're trying to keep going. And she was incredible very early in her career, and she got several knocks on that, and it took 3 years out of her,
From it, yeah. Where did your relationship start, Neil? As in,
Back in 2014, Tralee 10K was the festival 10K, whatever, and Liz, her mum, and Liz is a great runner. Liz's been training and running before Sean even started, and she was doing the 10K that day and persuaded Sean to come down and run. As I think she said to you before, she was kind of thinking of opting out of the dancing at that stage. And we met afterwards, and she started came up and doing a few training sessions, and then we went up to the All-Irelands, and she got selected during the 23 championship. So it was August, was the 10K, and she ran her first under 23 in the Eurocross in Bulgaria in November, December. So there was a fairly quick transition.
And could you see the talent from early days, like as in when you saw her at the start, did you go, oh, there's potential here? Or like a lot of people, it was just like, yeah, we're just going to work and we're going to work hard, and all of a sudden they progressed fast.
No, I saw huge potential, and I could see straight away where the problems were going to be, because when Shona went, she went, there was only one gear and it was very, very fast. And she didn't know how to slow down. She didn't know how to pace herself, whatever. So when we started off, and I think a lot of my teammates and club mates and her parents would relate to this, is that when I'd be coming up, to the finish, and I'd be driving for the line myself, and then I'd come over the line and I'm kind of looking of where, what tree she's going to be falling under, or will there be an ambulance next to her or something like that, because she trusts such incredible, like there's no pain barrier. And if there is, she just pushes through it. Like, and that was, it was amazing. And I mean, like, and I remember one of the other coaches saying it to me at that time at the All Ireland, saying, "You really need to tell her how to stop." You know
Yeah,
what I'm
yeah.
saying? At this stage, she was hanging
Take a
out over a tree, you know.
break.
But it showed that it's very unusual to get like go back to that mental toughness again. Like she didn't care if it hurt. Like she wanted to be over the line. She wanted to run her best and to do it. And that demonstrated itself very, very, and even in sessions, try and get her to pull back. And some of the lads were really, really good at helping her to pace and that kind of thing as well too. But and the ability. And I think her Irish dancing really, people that did benefit her. I mean, that reflects her speed. It was unbelievable.
But I always say as well, Niamh,
Huge.
I did like and especially the like we say Shauna, even that time when I was training with Aoife and things like that, like you see a lot of females sometimes will, sit behind, the men and let the men do, like I know Shauna for a fact and I know Aoife was that they'd be right out the front and they're trying to push the pace and you're like, Mars, would you slow down? Would you get come back, come back, come back? It's like, no, come on, we go. There was just no stop. It was like, right, we're going to max this out as much as we possibly can every single session. The drive is just to see it firsthand for myself with Aoife at that time, it was just incredible.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And like those she came up in her career very, very quickly. Like in her she started in, say, August 2014, and she was like I said, her first Eurocross cap in November. And then the next year she was in the under 23s again in France. And again that was her two under 23s. And then she went to Italy after that and ran a really, really well, good race. And then on the fourth one, it was in Saint Marin, and again fourth, it was four great Eurocrosses, and that was really, really quick to get. There was obviously two under 23s were the first two, and then the other two were the two senior teams as well. So when you start in 2014 and get four Eurocrosses in, and then she would have, won the national cross country 2016, 2017, and then things took the wrong turn. And she came back, and even when she got back briefly there, in between, like she ran Highgate and she ran. She raced there and she ran really, really well, Trafford as well. And then that was the toughest one actually after that because she'd run so well and turned around. And again, this is, going back to the coaching thing as well. And I remember coming back and she was really upset and she was saying to me, don't tell me not to run. And well, she said no, she couldn't run. I said, don't tell me not to train. I said, of course you'd be training. And she said, I want to run just as many, I want to train just as many days as I'm running. I said, absolutely. And she said, I want to train twice a day, 2 days a week, whatever. Whatever it was gone because we modified everything. And she was unbelievable. She was on the watt bike. She had it worn out. I'd say the bearings were changed every week. And she would do the aqua jogging. She took my suit and she was aqua jogging herself. And she was doing hard drills into the pool. And she did her S&C and she worked really, really hard at it. And I think she's come back all the stronger an athlete for it. But,
I
when
slightly
you.
changed something you've just ever said because we're on topic of injuries and you're obviously a physio and everything like that and then I just an area that fascinates me is obviously women and women in sports and how they have we have to look at everything differently than we do with the men's sports because we're obviously so different so for yourself you've massive experience working with women and everything like that and how do you approach sometimes with the different aspects of women running and to approach it and to help them through injuries and everything like that and, or development obviously at a younger age and is it very particular per person or can you be generic in some areas with it?
I suppose a bit of both, Damien, really. I'm particularly interested in bone health and REDS, if anybody isn't familiar with it. REDS is relative energy deficiency syndrome. And I suppose it developed from what was originally the female triad. So in a nutshell, basically, is that you get a lot of girls coming in. And like I said earlier, I did a lot with the under 20s, the under 23s. A lot of young girls particularly coming in and they're running well and they up their mileage and they're doing well. And they get quite light and maybe mightn't be fueling enough. It's hard to get the calories in. You're running, you're training, you might be in school, you might be in college, working, whatever. And what happens then is they lose weight, the body fat percentage goes down, and the menstrual cycle ceases. And when the menstrual cycle ceases, your estrogen levels are obviously low, the menstrual cycle ceases, and then that affects your bone health very, very much. So if you get an injury in your knee, if you get a tendonitis in your knee, if you get an ankylosing tendonitis, whatever, because you have pain. Your bone density can be plummeting down year after year, season after season, but you don't feel anything. You feel nothing. And that's the scary thing about it. So you go to your regular GP or that as well, they're not going to do a DEXA scan, which measures bone density, because they look at the age of the person and say, not a hope. come back in 10 years, whatever. But now, thanks be to God, Athletics Ireland, those as well, have weighed in very, very much. And for COVID was a very bad time for a lot of people. They did a development program with the juniors, guys and girls, which is brilliant, and the under 23s, a whole education process on bone health and fueling and making sure that people were eating enough, that they were exercising the right way, and that they were being managed. And especially with the girls, you've got to get the three things going. You've got to look after, if you have the eating right, if you get enough fuel in, basically everything else falls into place. So that's why they say if you're energy efficient, basically when you're talking about energy, you're talking about food. So if you're eating adequate to meet your training needs and your normal daily needs, you don't have a problem. But unfortunately, not a female runner, especially younger girls starting off, have those problems. And it's a huge area. And if anybody wants to follow up, just Google REDS, relative energy deficiency syndrome, or ED-S, and you'll get a huge amount of that.
Yeah, and it's
And
something, Niamh, we're
massive.
going to definitely target in the next coming months, because it's an area that, again, I've only learned about recently enough myself. And it's an area now that, because I have a daughter and I'm learning more about it, and I'm doing kind of college with personal training on that, and you learn a bit more about it. And it's absolutely fascinating, and very few people out there know about it. So I think that's definitely something we're going to have yourself and a couple of other people on, and we'll have a discussion about that, because I think it could be such a learning for coaches, male and female, who work with, athletes, and ways to help them to reach potential as fast and as early as they can with a lot of it.
Absolutely, it's a huge area, and obviously not developing at it now. But that's why so many young athletes and could get stress fractures and things like that. And it's the lower legs, it's the metatarsals, things like that. You can blame the shoes, you can blame the train. A lot of the time, it's due to low bone. Not all of the time, but a lot of the time, it's due to low bone density. So again, it's a key area. You can only touch on it now, but every coach, every parent, every athlete should be aware of REDS. Absolutely, male and female, of
No,
all
because we
ages.
could, and we spoke about it briefly before we came on. Like, we could literally be here for 3 hours talking about it, and that's why I said to you, we will be doing something, because I don't want to do a token gesture on it now and go, yeah, we're done. It's an area, again, I think needs to be touched on, and it's something we are definitely going to come back to and actually
Absolutely,
give it
absolutely.
the proper coverage that it actually does need in it. So, is there a way then, like, for yourself, do you? Is there telltale signs for people for that? As in, and in any, I mean, not even just Reds, I mean, in kind of different areas, again, when it comes to women's and sports, and because you get a lot of dropout, obviously, in women's sports at, around a teenager age and stuff like that. And you're working with the under 20s and under 23s. Do you kind of keep an eye on them individually and say, right, okay, right, there's might be something here, we need to target that? Or are you just kind of trusting them that they're
Absolutely.
okay?
And in fairness, on those camps and those, no, I think, and you find when you get them on one-on-one, actually some of those girls are dying to chat. It's a sensitive area. And with Athletics Ireland, that as well, those few camps, the under-20s, under-23s, they had sports psychologists as well, and dietitians and that, and top-end people. And those people were amazed at what came out. And these were people at the very top of their game and that as well. But you have to get the balance right. And whether you're elite or whether you're starting off, whether you're doing your park runs, whatever, you need to get the balance right. And that's why, if I go back to the age group, the under 20, under 23, that's why we lose most people. And if I had my way, I'd have all the races on a Saturday morning. And fair dues to park run, that's why they're doing so well. And it's a marvelous, marvelous idea and concept. Get up early in the morning, do your run, meet all your friends, have a great run, use it as a session, use it as your weekly outlet, whatever. And it's done. I think the thing of racing at 3 o'clock on a Sunday, that's where the young crowd go. And I used coach across country. It was 4 years ago there, and I had on the under 18s, under 20s boys and girls Kerry squad, and I changed everything from Sunday to Saturday morning, and my numbers doubled, and they all came. Rarely missed a session. If Sunday morning, I'd be looking at myself
No,
drinking
and
a
look,
coffee.
yeah,
Yeah.
and 100%, and we're all the same. We all like, and when we were all that age once, and then on
Oh,
Saturday nights,
absolutely.
you
Yeah.
wanted to be out and about, like. At the time, I played GA and stuff like that, and I might have turned up training on a Saturday, but I was definitely not turning up on a Sunday. So like, it
No,
is
and I
so
think no matter
different.
what age you were, Jimmy, to be honest, it is nice to kind of do something Saturday morning and then your recovery, have your day, and then you come back, you can get up on Sunday morning, you can do your long, you can go out Saturday night if you want to, go out for a meal or a drink or stay and do nothing, whatever it's your choice. You go out and do your long run with your friends on Sunday, and you know, it just fits in much better. But the Sunday 3 o'clock races, that's the first one of the first things I change for compliance and people not dropping out of the sport. I think, and just that's why, as I said, the early Saturday mornings park runs for reduced them. They're doing a great job.
Good job. It's very couple of questions on training. And this one is kind of, we say, so common mistakes you see in female athletes in their mid-20s and 30s. And we kind of did, you know, what would you say were the biggest issues you would see around that age?
At the moment, like half marathon is the new 5K. And I see a huge amount of, say, people in their 20s and their 30s, and they might go to the gym a day or two a week, or they might go for a walk, they might go for a jog at the weekend or something like that, but it mightn't be every week. And then suddenly, you know, there's a few buddies doing a half marathon or even a marathon, and they don't really have the background. In fairness, it was great to see them out training and everything, but you pick up, you know, Google, you know, a 12-week program, a 16-week program, whatever, and next thing you jump into week six. And you know, you get a huge amount of injuries from that. And you know, you're not damning anybody. It's marvelous to see people out running, but I think you got to peel it back. And I'd say to people, look, if you want to run a marathon, brilliant. But no matter what age you are, especially with novice runners, I'd say 1 inch, 5K is too fast. So I would say, you know, why don't you aim to train towards the 10K and then a 10 mile and then a half
Build your
marathon
way up,
and
yeah.
then build up to the marathon. But I think everybody should be running for a few years before they run a marathon, especially a younger person, because again, you're looking at bone health. You don't want to turn them off. You want them to enjoy it. And you want a bit of speed development too. If you go straight into marathon, you know, your pace, if you're not a seasoned runner, is going to be slower. So will you come back and do speed development afterwards? It's kind of unlikely.
I think once you go to marathon, you're really at
You are,
marathon
you are, you're there.
the
Yeah,
whole
that's why I
time,
don't rush people down the road there.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next one, take our training advice for a 30-year-old female looking to break 40 minutes for 10K.
That's a real classic now, that one, the 40 for the 10 and the
40,
20 for the one. And I find maybe jumping around as well, but with the 20 minute for the 5K, I think the biggest problem is people don't warm up properly. And that's a huge factor. It's a huge factor. They warm up, some of them don't warm up at all. 40 minutes is good. I think you've got to get used to running. So say, for example, you've got to get used to running at 8 minute mile, say, initially, but then your speed pace, you need to be doing, we'll go back to the kilometers and the miles again. You need to be running really less than a 5K split. Okay. And I think you need to do some speed work, definitely. A lot of people do the speed work, maybe not what you need to do. So I think a lot of people get stuck on a block on one particular figure, be it 40 minutes, 10K or 20, you know, for 5K, which is very, very common. But I think you need to do your intervals at race pace. So say, for example, if you want to go out to, say, go back to the 5K is probably easier parameter as well, and you want to do the same 20 minutes. So four fives is 20. And that's 4 minutes per kilometer. So you've got to get used to running at 4, and then you got used to get running at 3:55, and then you got used to running at 3:50. But you're not going to do it continuously. So if you started doing your 3:50s, whatever, instead of your 4, and you get comfortable at that, and you do a jog recovery, whatever, and then 3:50 becomes easier, then you go back to 3:45. And then you start building on that. And then suddenly you get used to running race pace, but not for the whole length of the duration. But you do need to train at race pace or slightly faster in smaller parameters. So you take your kilometer splits is easier really for 10Ks and 5Ks. I think with the 10K too, a lot of people will start off, well, they'll dip in the middle and they'll come back at the end. So what I'd recommend there is maybe doing a tempo, you know, kind of good steady run for about 15 minutes. And then I'd throw in a few fast intervals, like say something like 6 by 2 minutes with a minute float recovery. And then you jog for 2 minutes and you finish up with a tempo again. And when you go back to the second tempo, your legs are shot because you've gone faster in the middle. So it's teaching you to actually get over that hump with that dip in the middle. So mixed pace running is very good like that. So say, for example, if you wanted to break that 40, so tempo at the beginning, you can start off with 10, build up 15, whatever, and then maybe throw in 6 by 2s or 6 threes. A minute, very, very slow jog. That slow jog is when you shuffle now, you just don't want to
It's just
stop.
literally above, just
Yeah.
above a
And then
walk,
maybe
like
jog easy for about 2 minutes and then go tempo to the finish to your 40 minutes. So you get rid of that dip in the middle as well. And one, I think, a good session too, again, for the, you know, is tempo. So again, if you're running as you want to do 40 minutes, I would do 10 minutes tempo and then I would do 20 minutes good and faster tempo, good and steady now. Maybe not enough to raise, but whatever. And then slow down to slightly steadier running again. You need to work at the middle bit. Everybody has it at the beginning, and everybody has it at the end. It's the middle section that people need to work on, especially if you're just maybe into it for a few years, you're getting into it. So consistency really in that middle section of those races is where people where the time's dropped.
Yeah, and I do think like the word you use there, and I know like we use it, is consistency as well. If you're kind of like, if you can get out to 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week consistently, you're going to see, but like the speed session or a faster session, not necessarily a speed session, a faster session is the only way you're going to get faster. So there's no point in you go 6 days a week and running, the exact same pace all the time. You're not going to improve, your endurance will improve, but your speed is not going to go anywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
like you need to get out, you need to actually pick up the pace, you need to hurt a little bit, and then that hurt becomes easier. And then, running unfortunately never gets easier because we get faster. So we keep
You're
on
looking for
pushing
more.
ourselves. We're looking for more. We're never going to be happy with, oh yeah, no, I'll stay with this and I'm going to stick with this forever. We want to keep on improving. But yeah, you have to get the speed sessions in
I
that.
think you need to be running 4 days a week too, Jim. You know that. There's a lot of research that shows like up to 3 days is fine. But if you go from 3 to 4 days, just maybe for a novice one or somebody starting out for, somebody at a good club level, if you run 4 days, there's a big improvement, much bigger than there is between 4 and 5. So if somebody wanted to run 4 days and maybe go to the gym for another one or two, or go for a cycle or go for a swim, that's a very rounded program. It doesn't have to be all running. In fact, a lot of time for injury prevention, you recommend it as that.
100%.
But four days, definitely.
We might have that could be this could be one of the tips now for that, for this. So any advice for beginners to look up to look or looking to take up running? I think we kind of like a lot of it would be just one, get out the door, you know what I mean, and just start off kind of, at a, just start off maybe a mile or two. It could be a walk, a run, a walk and a run. Any tips yourself that you would have?
Absolutely. And I would throw out all the mile and the kilometre splits, and I would just do time in your feet. Because you might run one day and you feel great, the next day you might feel wrecked and whatever. So I think it's just actually learning to run for so long. So if somebody's only starting off, I'd recommend somebody start at a walk jog, maybe, 1, 2, or 3 minutes walk, 1 minute run, 2 to, and then 1, 2, or 3 minutes. And then when you get to maybe 20 minutes of that, you're going to sustain running then. If you can run for 20 minutes sustained, which is a good start, it's now total beginner I'm talking about, and then you build that up gradually. And I would be saying, the most you should run would be 2 days on and one day off. Now, that day off could be a swim, it could be inside the gym, it could be on the cross trainer, it could be on the bike. They're all non-weight bearing modes. So if you're up on the bike, and if you're in the pool, or if you're aqua jogging, or if you're up on the cross trainer, whatever, you're resting those muscles. You're still working your cardiovascular fitness. For boredom factor, you're not doing the same thing, but you're also preventing getting injured, and you're actually improve your performance that way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I would look. We are doing a program at the moment with Cork Marathon, as in we're doing a YouTube video for marathon for 4 or 5 hours, and like it's we don't do distance. It's all time because it's again, it's just about getting time on your feet, and there's no point in
Absolutely.
saying
I
go out for
mean,
five
yeah.
k because 5 k could be for some people it could be 40 minutes, and you go it's about 25, 30 minutes. Just get out there, get whatever that is. Ignore the distance. It's just about the time.
No, absolutely. And you've got to, that's why you need to train for the time on your feet. So it's really, really tough to be on your feet for 5 hours. And I admire anybody who does that, but you've got to train for that because otherwise, you're really, really leaving yourself open to injuries there. So again, that's where, as you say, dead run, that's where you go, time on your feet. Absolutely.
A couple of things. So obviously you love coaching. You can the passion you obviously have for it is massive. Do you like would you co do you coach every levels as in club levels, or do you have a list of at least from beginners to Shauna, we'll say which would be your top, or are you very do you have a select crew that you would go with?
No, don't select, but we have different groups. We have a lovely group that meet in the field locally there, and like Caroline Murphy and like say Majella Diskin, the two of them are off running the duathlon marathon or the national championships last weekend. Noel Carr, there's a gang of us there that meet, and that'd be predominantly a masters group. There'd be a bigger group then, say at the weekends, and Amy Pullman Dahman as well too. She's in UCD, she runs the triathlon. And Amy's just gone out of under 23 category, just quite new into running, and I think she's very talented, and I think she's one to watch definitely. She's marvelous talent, and again, huge commitment, and very, very focused as well. We've some
Again, when
marvelous
you have,
people in,
but
yeah.
I said any of I goes, but like I always think success breeds success ever so slightly as well. You know what I mean? So like, so people looking up to you, Neil, yourself, and Shauna. When people see that, it drives them to be more successful and drive them. And go, I would love that. I would love to be that successful. And I do think younger runners coming up should look up to yourself and look up to Shauna and go, this is now where I want to go. And there's no better people to train with than at that chance for people down in Anraic at the
Yeah, and
moment.
it's like Shauna now is the benefit of training. There's some really good lads around the place as well, too. And I'm not going to drop names there because, I mean, I'll forget half them, but we've a really, really group of good lads. So I suppose I would mention a few names that I ever say, like Martin Dineen and, Donald White and Declan Ganay from West Limerick comes down and Derek Griffin, who ran a great marathon in London last weekend. And, Naomi's there. She'd come back in with them at the weekends. And Shauna's partner, John Collins, now from Cork. John has been injured. He's back in there again too. So there's a fabulous group of them there. And, no matter what level you're at, whether it's them on the track or maybe a master's group of us on the field, it's what you put into it. And say, we've another gang there on a Saturday morning, master's group, but Shauna's mum, Liz, and Mary, and a few more of them. Again, they never miss a week. They'll go on any, at any weather, any time, whatever. And then we've group out in the club as well too. And if you rang them up the night before and you needed somebody for a team, they'll come out. I mean, it's that commitment. But it's I really think whether no matter what age you are and no matter what ability you are, I mean, you can enjoy it. It's out there for you. But I think rowing in, I'm a great team person, and athletics can be a very lonely sport. But even going away to the Masters, I mean, like so there the last few years now, we've a great team in the category. I mean, with Cabar and Finn Valley and Irene Clements, and as well, the three of us have. It's hard if you get three of us together on the line, we'd be fairly hard to beat, and that's
I do.
massive at the age we're at,
I obviously athletics is the best, one of the best team or best individual team sports. You know what I mean? It's very individual, but there's also a massive team aspect.
We're
And
huge.
I just honestly, I would love clubs to pay more attention to team aspect of it. And I mean, this every club in all of Ireland, like national championships and all that, like should be just chased after and should be targeted. And the problem is at the moment, and I do to come back to the marathons, and I've done this. Everyone's so focused on marathons now that everything is secondary. So, i.e., championships and all that, because a lot of them happen to be around marathons and stuff like that. And it's kind of like, no, doing a marathon, can't do that race, can't do that race. But I just love that team aspect. But it's my favorite. And I put my hands up. I didn't do enough of it myself because I was again training for marathons. But I just think when you get the team together, there's no better feeling.
Oh, it is. And I mean, I think no matter what level you, I mean, I know I could pick up the phone and ring, seven or eight of the gang in Rio in the morning. And if we want to be turned out for cross country team or road team, they'd all come. And a huge commitment club wise there. And then with Shauna, she's got all gone well that she does get to Rome. And again, everything is out there, nothing's definite. But again, we'd hope to have a team there. And, hopefully that team would be, people like,
Strong
say,
as
Ula
well.
McCormack and Anne-Marie McGlynn and people like that there. We've some great talent there, absolutely great
Oh,
talent.
incredible. Incredible. No, I'm after keeping you way beyond what I've told you I will. So I'm going to move briefly on to obviously I wanted to touch on it because I obviously want to highlight the fact that you're obviously a massive physio and a whole lot of work you do with that as well. And you kind of the strength and everything like that. How'd you fit that into with all this running and all this coaching?
With difficulty. I guess you asked me there about early morning running and that, I run early in the morning. I never run. I mean, mid-morning would be maybe a group session on a Tuesday and maybe, my lack of, everything's in the morning. I would never run like after 10:30 in the morning. But doing it tomorrow morning now, I'll be up at 6 and up out the door. And then you can come back and continue your day and your work and that too, because the work is physical. I love it, but it is physical. You're on your feet all day, and I suppose the day flies, but it is a very busy day. And I teach some classes on Zoom too. They're on bone health as well too. So at least I do my own S&C through that. But I try and mix it and match it as much as I can. But I suppose the fact that I really enjoy it, I don't see myself opting out for like my running
Yeah, exactly.
for as long as I can keep going,
It
but I
helps when you
enjoy it.
actually do, when you have a passion for something that makes a massive difference.
Yeah,
And obviously
it
you've
makes it
got,
when you enjoy something, it makes it easier. I mean, I don't dread going to work. I look forward to going to work, and
and you have a lovely
I'm very lucky.
triangle of it now. You have obviously your running, your coaching, and your physio, and it's a lovely kind of angle, and they all work together perfectly. And it's when you do love them all pretty much equally, it makes it so much easier then as well.
It does, and I think too, you're It's like everything else, but you can never know enough, Damien. I mean, so if I feel I need help and I need more expertise, I'll draw people in and I'll make phone calls and I'll get the right person to answer the question to me, find out what I need to know. And I think that in running as well too, there's a great thing in running, like you're as good as your last race. You can never feel that you're up there because it takes one bad race and you're back down
And
there
try
again.
to get as much
Yeah.
information as you
So
can from everybody you can.
you can never know enough and you can never
No.
learn enough. And you know, so that would be in my work and I would like and transfer that to my coaching as
So
well
that's a
too.
good segue to my next thing, all right? And we've finished on this one, okay? So I have a couple of things that I want to ask you, and these are coming to me, and I want to know if, you know, how much it is. So, one, how many baked potatoes and cottage cheese do you go through in a
Okay, I
week?
know who asked you this now. That's my favorite because I go around the place afterwards and they're all looking at me inside there because I always bring the baked potato and the cottage cheese and I actually like them. And I mean, I suppose if nutritionally, the way is the recovery and that as well, I don't like shakes and things like that. And I just really like baked potatoes. So I would take that rather than a white sliced pan sandwich. I'm vegetarian anyway, but I mean, so then I take two baked potatoes and a tub of cottage cheese. Yeah, absolutely. And a few bananas thrown in as well.
So there you go, right? There's the after session champions, where Joe, when everyone says you need a recovery within 20 minutes, get a baked potato into you. You're laughing as well with that.
Don't know who put
So
that question
I we wouldn't spill names here now at
in.
all.
I don't have to go
So
too far.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next question. Do you enjoy coffee from Oakland's shop in Tralee? And if so, how many would you drink a day?
I am an addict and I admit that. So I'll run tomorrow morning and then I'll go down and get my 16-ounce coffee and I'll teach my Zoom class and then I'll go down past it again on the way to work and I'll have another one. But I do limit it to two, but I
Do
need those two. Yeah.
they're important too, and it has to be from
So,
the Auckland shop. Is it? Is that
but
the,
they're
your
that Auckland's definitely the best in town.
that's your
Absolutely.
best in
Yeah.
town, right? So
That
we
they're
why
the
would
best
it,
in town and
I'll
I'm their
clip
best
this,
customer, I'd say.
yeah, I'll
As
clip
such.
this and send it to them and say, look, there you go, that we need to sort out for a coffee next. And
I'd highly recommend it.
the last one I got was, is it true that you have never dropped out of a race?
No, I never dropped out of a race. I should have once. It was a business house in Cork. And I was coming around and I had about 400 meters to go and I was winning. And I bent over my ankle and I could just feel it getting sore and sore and sore. Now I walked most of it, but I suppose, clear enough. And I did cross the line, but no, it wasn't that bad. It was a bad lateral ligament sprain, but I probably should have dropped out that time. But
With 400 to go, you're never going to drop out, dodge.
no, I do think, you know, if you can run, if somebody gets a serious injury or something like that, you always should drop out. But I think dropping out just because it's not your day, that's my thing. I don't really advocate that at all. And especially, well, somebody's doing it for themselves, you know. I wouldn't be re definitely recommending it. But if you're on a team and you just don't feel you're doing it on the day and you're put out because you're not going anywhere, you're not going to be in the top 10 or whatever, and you pull out and there's three more in the team, there's four to score, I wouldn't be too happy with that person. And I wouldn't, if I definitely wouldn't be happy with myself. So I've never dropped out in a team competition ever. And please God, I never will. But injury stressing, you should. But when there's a t that's where the team element comes in, as we were talking about earlier, because you're down the lane for your team. That's the way you should
Oh,
be.
100%. Niamh, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. I did
That's
say
always
to you
great.
about a half an hour to 40 minutes, and I did know we're going
We talk about running, Damien. We go all night. There we go.
So,
Thank
as
you
we
very
said, I
much.
am 100%. We're going to have you back on in the coming months to, I think, talk more about, you know, the women's side to athletics, and, you know, again, like areas of Reds, and, you know, everything like that. And so we're definitely going to come touch that in the future, because I think it's a must. But absolute pleasure. Like, again, we could have went on, and I mean, we say this a lot of times, but I could have carried on here. I just actually happened to look a second and go, oh Jesus, it's that time already. So, you know, it's been an honor to touch and an absolute privilege. And I think, you know, what you're doing in coaching and in running is so well deserved, and it deserves more recognition in my eyes. And, you know, hopefully people will listen to this and realize Niamh O'Sullivan deserves a statue outside on Rioct for herself.
Thanks to me, the
Well,
privilege to be
actually,
asked. I really enjoyed it.
we need to
Yeah.
get him, you know, whoever did that silhouette of Shauna outside her place. We need to do one for you down in
No,
down
they can hang on. It's okay.
Leo, thanks very much, and
Thanks for
a
being
pleasure,
David.
and we'll
Enjoy it
talk
very
to you
much.
later.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. Thank
Thank you to Niamh for her time and such a great chat. Really enjoyed it. And Brian, I know you, as you said before, you haven't heard it yet. You'll hear it tomorrow yourself. I enjoyed it, really enjoyed it. I came off and messaged you afterwards saying I actually that I enjoyed. Took an awful lot from myself, and just such a lovely person.
No, I look forward to that one as well. And great to have such a strong, I suppose, leader in the female world from a coaching perspective, running herself. She's out there doing it. And as we keep saying, definitely, we've had women specialists on. We'd like to interview more women, but if they can't see it, they can't be. It was one of the famous slogans there, and certainly Niamh is certainly out there leading the way.
Yeah, and I have a good chat with the other more. We will be looking into trying to get more. We are, as we look, Brian, which is called a spade a spade, we are finding it difficult to get some female athletes on at the moment. Kind of the ones we have kind of approached, which some have not come back to us, and some have just said, look, they're not able to, and that's totally fine. But look, we are actively, I know, because a lot of people have got said to me before, we have quite a few men on it, and won't disagree with that.
Not for the want of trying anyway to
Not
get
for the
women.
want of trying. So if anybody has, again, we put this out there. If you have somebody who you feel we should have a chat with, give us a shout.
No, it's a good way to. I won't mention names here yet, but we have a massive, massive female coming up, I would think, quite soon. I won't give them away the name, but it's a world star and someone that. We leave it at that. We leave that. There's a huge female on the way to us.
Okay.
You're
Any
looking
hint?
even shocked.
Yeah,
And
any hint? Any hint?
I told you who it was, but you're gone. You can't remember yesterday.
I do remember who it is, but I'm saying that, is there any hint for the people like?
Is there a hint? I would say one of the most famous running photos out there over the last number of years, this lady has is in it.
Over there, okay, perfect.
I don't know if that probably helps in any way, but we just want to make sure we have this person before we're 99, but we've been here once before with a world famous female, actually. That didn't quite go over the line, despite numerous
Being
discussions,
nearly over the line, yeah.
been really nearly over the line more than once. And that would have been a world star in the female world as well. We didn't quite get it, but who knows? It might come good yet. But this is another very big one as well, I think, when
Excellent.
we do announce it.
So look,
So,
something to look forward to. But again, look, thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to everybody for the comments. And again, make sure you get and support our fundraiser for Crumlin Hospital and Brave Through Cancer this year. You get us beautiful t-shirt for €30 delivered to your door, and €15 of that is going direct to the charity. So you supporting us, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you to everybody for the comments and the kind words. Brian, thank you. Thank you to Rory, to Jonathan, and to Andy, and we will see you all next week.